Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Happy Friday for those of you that get the weekends off. I'm sure you're all looking forward to it. Today we're going to do a bit of a recap. We had a couple pretty interesting nights this week, and I think it's always good on Fridays to kind of talk about what we've talked about all week. However, before I get us rolling, it's been quite a while since I've read Heart to Heart, which is the whole reason I started doing this. Something that came to me one day was during when my grandson was hurt and when things were kind of in a bit of an upheaval for me, and I was watching other people's behavior, and this is something I wrote, and I think every now and then I read it to remind all of us a little bit about what's going on. Two wrongs do not make it right. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He and Heavy, he's my brother. What goes around comes around. All of these old sayings indicate that we as a people realize the importance of caring for one another. So what's the problem? Why do we continue to do harm to others? Every day in my personal life, I come across angry, hurt people who, for whatever reasons, pass on their pain to everyone they meet. We are not designed to harbor hatred and anger. We are designed to be functioning at our highest level when we are balanced. Balance is created by our nourishment, which includes food, obviously, conversation, and interactions. Since we all know we cannot change anyone but ourselves, that is where we must start. Even in the animal kingdom, where it is often survival of the fittest, there is a ring of respect for territory and family. Respect and a sense of fairness must be recovered and applied to our daily lives. We need to really consider how our words and our actions affect those around us. Often during a conversation with someone struggling with a health challenge, I learn of deep emotional scars, old words or actions that have been left to fester and get stronger than they are ever meant to get. Letting go is always harder than it sounds. So today, right now, we must make a conscious effort to stop inflicting those wounds. Sadly, it's often to those we love the most. They forgive us more quickly, but they seldom forget. And saying you're sorry is very nice, but not near as nice as never having to say you're sorry. These sentiments are not to preach to others, only ourselves. Imagine a world where everyone endeavors to be the best that they can be. Till next time, from my heart to yours, Renee. Now, as I said, I wrote that a few years ago, and they are still my complete sentiments. And every night on this show, we talk about all the different things that snowball into all the different actions. Doing harm to others, it didn't just start out, I'm going to go hurt so-and-so. Something happened first. Something that was unkind, unnecessary, and unwarranted more often than not. How sad is that? But the ending, very sadly, is often the same. The ending is usually not good for anyone. And there is no other way to make this better but by making ourselves better. No other way. Nobody can mandate that we're nice. Nobody can mandate, or the president or the Pope. Obviously, God has difficulty trying to get us to understand what we're supposed to do. So it cannot be done by any one other entity. It has to be done by ourselves. Individual assessment of who we are, what we do, what we say, and how we treat other people. And it will make a difference. It absolutely, positively will make a difference if everybody puts forth that much effort. I'm going to bring in Shelley. I don't know whether she's driving home or home already. Hi, Shel.
Hey, I'm actually home already. How do you like that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's nice. I bet all your four-legged friends are happy, huh?
Oh, my goodness, yes. They lose their minds when I get home. It's so funny. I love it.
Hey, you guys. Did somebody look at the clock? She's home already. I can just hear them.
Yeah.
So, you know that I just read Heart to Heart again. I kind of looked over my notes from this week, and it's been an interesting week in the news. And the repercussions are not stopping. The repercussions are growing and growing and growing. And the people who are in favor of peace and harmony are frightened by the stew that's being brewed as we speak.
That's right.
And it's awful. And to what ends? You know, Shelley, what difference will it make if somebody, God forbid, hurts George Zimmerman or his family? How is that going to make any difference? Or if somebody runs out and beats a white kid in a hoodie? For me, it's like, I can't even comprehend what everybody's thinking.
No, neither can I. You know, and a lot of it has to do with the mindset that, you know, somebody has to pay for something. And it's like, well, oh, sometimes tragedies happen because somebody made a mistake. And you know what? Everybody on both sides has to, just like what happened with you and Mikey. I mean, and that wasn't a mistake. That was deliberate. And you and your family still chose to be forgiving, although it was tenuous at times and it was difficult to maintain that. You did. The bottom line is you guys did, you know. And it's, number one, because it's the right thing to do. But a lot of times the right thing to do isn't the easy thing to do. It's very easy to be vengeful. It's very easy to be angry. It actually takes a lot of strength of character. It takes a lot of being very reasonable and being a person of integrity to be able to say, you know what, I'm not going to propagate this. Did this happen to my family, and it's going to end with this singular act, and we're going to heal, and we're going to help our community to heal, you know, because when you hear about these things, they're shocking to the senses. You know, whether you hear about somebody being catastrophically injured, or in the case of Trevon, he actually did lose his life, you know. So at what point do you allow the community to heal? It should happen from the get-go, like it did with you guys. I mean, that was a shocking episode your family went through. But you started the healing process right from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have...
We could have made it much messier, much more convoluted. But again, to what ends? Would it, you know, our whole thing was then, is now, and will continue to be the healing of our family. First Michael, healing his burns, healing his body. Now we're trying to heal his heart and his mind and all of ours. And, of course, the tough part about all this is, do you not all realize that other things don't stop? That there's there are other things will still come your way, like us right now. My husband has to have this surgery for my son, Michael's dad, my second-born child. He has to have a very serious surgery now, and that's snowballing into a very traumatic ordeal. Now, if we were still so totally wrapped in vengeance or hate or all the stuff that goes with that, how would we have the energy to do what we have to do next?
Right, exactly.
We wouldn't. And
right.
And these people need to understand that life doesn't, you know, the world doesn't stop spinning. And you can't stop it so that you can manage or get even or any of the things that everybody has the urge to do when somebody is hurt like this. And again, I still maintain, and people can think I'm nuts, people can say whatever they want, but I still maintain that neither person the night that teenager lost his life started out that night with those kind of intentions. I don't believe that they did.
And mm-hmm. They both made mistakes. They both made errors in judgment that night. You know,
exactly.
The young man certainly didn't deserve to lose his life over it, but unfortunately that's a consequence sometimes when you make bad choices. We are not,
yes.
We're not immortal, and sometimes, you know, young people feel like they are. They feel like they can do anything, and they're just going to bounce back from it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the case. Some of your choices are final. And
this
kind of brings your reality check to everybody, that you can't just act any way you want in any situation. Sometimes you have to be a little bit respectful, a little bit submissive when you're in a situation that you're not in control of. And that doesn't make you a weak person. That makes you a smart person.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, have you ever watched somebody punch a punching bag?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a professional boxer or somebody who's working out, and they punch
right.
a punching bag. The only time it is a mutual exercise between the punching bag and the person is when they tune into each other. Because if I punch a punching bag, it just comes back and smacks me in the face because I don't know how to punch a punching bag.
Right, right.
You have to have, yes, you have to have a rhythm and you have to have
mm-hmm.
a oneness with the punching bag. Otherwise, somebody gets hurt.
Right, right.
So
you get knocked off your feet by an inanimate object.
That's right, that's right. And it's the same with if a stranger and you have some kind of an altercation, there is no connection there. There is no rhythm. You can't tell
right.
whether you're scaring the hell out of somebody or whether somebody's just messing with you. You cannot
right.
tell what is in the other person's head because you have no connection whatsoever.
Right.
So
right.
what would make you think that you're the only one that feels like you're in a bad place, you're a little bit scared, you're a little bit, you know, you're anticipating something's going to happen and it doesn't feel like it's going to be good to you. Why don't we get that because there's no connection between us and you don't know what they're thinking, that you don't know what they're thinking and that you have to back
right.
off?
Right.
It's like anything else when you, you know, when you start a conversation with somebody on an elevator, you know, I mean, have you ever walked onto an elevator and looked at somebody and you're the only two on the elevator and you smile and say something like, oh, my God, this elevator's slow, or, oh, it's so hot
mm-hmm.
outside, or I'm glad I'm out of the rain or something. And some people
mm-hmm.
look at you and, oh, yeah, isn't it terrible, or, oh, yeah, isn't it wonderful, or whatever. And other people look at you like, who the hell are you talking to?
Yes, I've had both experiences.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So the point I'm making here is because, you know, so say they do look at you like, are you talking to me, you know? You shut up. You shut up. You just smile and look away and forget about it. It's the
right.
same thing with an altercation if it's somebody that you don't know because you don't. You don't know who that. I mean, you could be standing there, starting to get all pissed off at, you know, I don't know. I can a godfather or something. Who knows?
Right.
We should govern ourselves on the side of safety. Like we want
right.
the other people that we love to govern themselves.
Well,
you know, we want
to
know.
The whole thing is that, you know, like when you started talking about all this, you know, there's two cliches, and everybody hears them all the time. And sometimes a cliche is heard so many times that people don't think about the meaning of it. They know what the meaning of it is, but they don't think about it. And the one of them, and you've spoken about this all the time, is that two wrongs don't make a right. All right?
Right.
Increasing
right.
violence now, you know, conducting other violent acts now in retaliation is actually more wrong, because now they're being done deliberately. What happened that night, neither one of them set out to harm another human being. Unfortunately, they both made errors in judgment, and that's what ended up happening. But now, if anybody does anything retaliatory, first of all, they're doing it to an innocent party. They're doing it to an innocent bystander. They're just somebody who happened to have been sucked in by association, you know, either by family relation or by, you know, by race or something like that. Okay, but anybody that perpetrates violence now in retaliation of this effort is 1,000-fold more in the wrong, because now it's a conscious choice. They're not in the throes of a life-threatening situation, and probably both of those men thought they were in a life-threatening situation. They just didn't handle it properly, you know, and that will always be a tragedy. But any violence now that's perpetrated is horrendous in nature, because it's completely unnecessary, it's completely unwarranted, and it doesn't solve it. It actually makes the situation worse, because it keeps that animosity alive. Get rid of it. People should have been working to get rid of it seconds after it was over.
That's right. There should have been grieving, an opportunity for the family, actually for both families, to grieve, because let's don't really take real lightly the fact that somebody took somebody else's life either. I happen to have first-hand knowledge of what it's like for somebody to get past, because of car accidents, get past taking someone else's life. And it's not as
officers?
Easy.
Officer? That mm-hmm. takes somebody's life, a criminal that turns around and points a gun at him, and he has no choice, and they have to go through therapy, because it's not our basic nature to be okay with taking another human being's life, regardless of whether or not you're prepared to do it. You go to war, you're a police officer, whatever, but it injures us, because that's not our basic nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have to start demanding better leadership from the people that other people listen to, the men and the women that are out there that people hold in some prestigious regard. They have to understand that this is what they should be saying. They should not be instigating anything else other than peace, forgiveness, and harmony. Because if they are, then they're not much of a leader. This is not
That's right.
the Knights of the Round Table. This is not the days when people were coming in and trying to take your land away from you. We are who we are, and we're supposed to be the strongest nation in the world. Let's act like it. The people that I have the most respect for in my life are the people who handle the things that they have to handle with respect and with some kind of decorum. You know, they don't they don't turn everything into a free for all or into a what was it the kids used to do a while back? Oh, your mother's so fat, when she hangs around the house, she really hangs around the house. And,
right.
oh, well, your wife's so ugly, you tie a bone around her neck to make the dog play with her. Remember all those silly things that everybody did there for a while? Well, that's what I feel like they're doing. And it's not funny. It's really not funny. And I think... I don't know how anybody could be this misled as an adult. I think that they think people respect them because they can get everybody going. You know, it's not a big gift to be able to stand in front of a room of people who are struggling every day and have all kinds of anxiety and stress in their life and get them pissed off. That's a real easy thing to do.
That's right. That's right.
A real, real easy thing to do. It doesn't impress me at all. Now, if you can stand in front of a group of people that you know that is silently oppressed because of their life and they're dealing with all kinds of personal issues and still get them to forgive and say, yes, I want peace and yes, I want harmony, that is a special person.
That's right. That's right. And we need, there are some leaders like that out there, and we need more of them.
Yes. Yes, we absolutely need more of them. And we need more people who understand that this has to come to a stop. And you won't stop everybody, because we've talked about this. We've talked about mental illness. We've talked about insanity. We've talked about the fact that some people need more help and more understanding than others. And they walk the streets right beside us every day, and they suffer in silence until one day, boom, and then something horrendous happens.
Right.
I don't know if we will ever be at a place where we can fix that. I really don't know. I'd like to think we could, but I don't know if that will ever happen. But the people who do foolishness, who know better, and who just think it's important to be king of the mountain, you know, we're all too old to play king of the mountain, you guys. We're just too old. It's not a game, and we're too old.
I see two trends happening right now, and because I see a lot of shifts happening with people's attitudes, and some people are really fighting change, and they don't want to believe, like, you know, they don't want to believe that the government would ever do anything wrong, and that they don't want to believe that the pharmaceutical companies are doing anything wrong. You know, they want to stay with the status quo. And then there are other people that are looking around, and they're saying, you know what, there's a better way of doing this. There's a better way for me to heal my body. There's a better way for me to nourish my body. There's a better way for me to think. And it's almost like that. There's two different types of people right now. There are people that are becoming enlightened and are actually going towards it and learning more about life and learning more about how to be happier and how to take control of their lives. And then there's other people that are kind of like a boat out on the ocean without any motor or sail, and just kind of getting pushed around by the waves, and they're just dealing with whatever life throws at them, and they're completely out of control. And they're just responding day to day with what gets thrown at them. They don't have a definite course. And when people are living like that, when they feel that they don't have any control, and in that scenario they don't, all right, they're just being pushed around by the waves, it causes all kinds of emotional and mental vulnerabilities. And that brings out anger, that brings around fear. And when people are angry and fearful, they make really bad choices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I do think that is one of the problems, as I said before. If you took, let's say we went to Tallahassee tomorrow and we gathered 3,000 people, and I'm going to tell you that probably 80% of those 3,000 people in their heads want things to be better. They're scared.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling. They're going without. I mean, there was a big thing on the news the other night. Now some of these big companies that are folding aren't going to pay people's pensions. Some of them are police officers. Some of them are firemen. Some of them are work for big organizations like hospitals like Jackson Memorial, not Jackson Memorial. Don't anybody misunderstand that. But a big complex like Jackson is that have had to cut back while their CEOs make a whole bunch more money. So they've had to cut them back because these are the decisions that are being made. Now, of these 3,000 people, you have probably 80% of them that are going through all that kind of stuff. and you stand up there and you say anything that's negative, they're going to go with it like a bee to honey. Why? Because that's where their head is at. That is where their head is at. They're angry, and they want to fight somebody. They want to take all that aggression out on somebody.
Exactly.
But now,
exactly.
If we could just get some of these leaders to understand, you don't need to get them all riled and pissed off. They're already there. What you got to do is you got to teach them to aim that energy towards something that is positive and will make a difference in what's going on in our world. Anything
Absolutely.
Else, you should be ashamed of yourself. Anything else that you endeavor to do with people today, instead of putting them in a place where they feel that they want to make things better instead of worse, shame on you, especially if they love you, respect you, and are listening to you.
That's right. That's right. You know, and the whole thing
Is
that one of the things that saddens me is that people think that there's such a lack of resources out there, financial jobs and things like that, and it really isn't the case. This is something that's sort of a facade, and it's kind of out there almost deliberately. There are people that are so wealthy that it's almost like obscene wealth. And if people could just understand that there are marketplaces for businesses, you should find out whatever your trade is, whatever you're good at, and you should go into wealthy communities and find out what the people, what they spend their money on, and then try to create a business around that. Because I go into these wealthy communities sometimes, and it's almost like two different forms of society. You have people that are so wealthy, they don't think about anything. They don't bargain shop. They spend money like it's water. And then you have other people that can't even make it from paycheck to paycheck, and they're making a very low paycheck to begin with. You know, so it's not that there's a lack of money. It's just that a very small portion of the population has access to it. And our country prints money anyway, so it's not like we run out of it. I don't know that people understand that. Our money is not backed by gold anymore. Our country just prints money. When they did that whole bank bailout, there was no gold backing that. They just printed money and bailed the banks out. If you talk about a Ponzi scheme, our government created the biggest Ponzi scheme there ever was, because there's nothing backing all that money that they bailed the banks out with. That whole thing was ludicrous if you really investigate it more. Mm-hmm. So the point to all that is that you can grab your share of wealth that's out there by understanding that all you have to do is be creative. If you're in a job that you're miserable at, if it's affecting your health, you're not happy with what you're doing, then start being a little creative. Figure out something that would excite you to do every day, and then look to where there's a market for that. Because I'm telling you, if there's something you like doing, there's somebody out there that would pay you to do it. You might want to go on the internet and do searches and things like that. But I've met people recently who lost their jobs. Some of them were in businesses for like 15 or 20 years, and then just got, you know, like a couple of years ago when all the when everything hit the fan. Mm-hmm. And then what they did is they were like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? And that's what they did. And a couple of them actually did what I'm suggesting right now. They said, okay, well, if I had a choice to do something every day and get paid for it, what would it be? And that's what they did. And they started researching, and they actually created products or services where they could cater to people that had the money that would pay them. And they found these communities and set their businesses up there. And a couple of them have been extremely successful. But first they panicked when they lost their jobs. And now it turns out it was the best thing that ever happened to them because of where it put them. But most people won't go there. Most people will sit back. Most people will panic because they believe the hype that there's nothing out there. There's just nothing out there in conventional terms. But if you can kind of break out of the box a little bit, you can make your situation different just by trying to think outside the box and not go with conventional solutions.
Well, I think I don't. You and I could probably argue about this for a while because I don't think that there's a lot of people that have an entrepreneurial bone in their bodies, and that takes somebody who can walk out there and do something like that from scratch. And I agree with you that that is an awesome way to save yourself and to make a living, but it's some people just don't have that in them. What would be more appropriate at this point in time is for us to organize ourselves so that everything was more in line with each other. Income was more in line with rents and electricity bills and groceries and gas and the price of a car and the price of a home and the price of insurance should be more in line with what your average Joe or Mary is paid in a paycheck. In order to make a living today, if you have no skills like what you're talking about, or you have no dream like what you're talking about, or even if you have the dream and you can step out there and you can walk around and you can say, look, I can do this for you. We see these stories all the time. The Today Show has been real big the last couple years on putting stuff out there with women that have started a new hat industry or a new this thing, and,
yeah,
and people are buying them, and it's wonderful, and it's fun. But what really needs to happen is not for this to fall back in the laps of an individual to be a survivor, because they are surviving. That's what they're doing right now. But they're kind of like treading water. They're not getting any closer to the shore or to that beautiful island. They're
right,
just
right.
treading water. So if we could figure out a way to make things be more balanced so that when you do get a job, I have teenagers here and young people, 18. I have a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-year-old, and a 21-year-old. The 21-year-old did everything his boss asked him to do, went out and spent $300 and some of his first two paychecks so that he could get a special driving license, so he could get this, so he got training for this. He's still making the same amount of money. He got like a dollar raise an hour. But if he had to live on the outside, pay for the insurance on his vehicle, pay for his cell phone, pay his electricity, feed him and his girlfriend or his wife, and the insurance on the car and all that kind of stuff and a mortgage, he could not do it on his paycheck. No
right.
way in hell. No way in
right.
hell. And even as a couple, they would struggle. They would struggle a lot. So what I'm thinking is the answer here is for these same people who want to go out there this weekend and start all kinds of rallies and get everybody all pissed off and make them want to, you know, make all the black people want to hate the white people again, make all the white people want to hate the black people again, like that hasn't gone on damn long enough already. And instead say, look, I don't care if we are striped or polka dotted. What we need here is some balance. We need our income to match our outgo. It doesn't mean you get to drive a Lincoln Continental if you're working as a dishwasher.
Right.
But it should mean that you can have, if you have two kids and you and your wife, you should be able to, at the very least, have a two-bedroom apartment and be able to pay your
right.
bills. And many of them cannot. And that's what is bringing all the strife, the anger, the anxiety, all of that stuff to such a boiling point that now, like I said, if this weekend some of these guys go out there and just send one flicker of light off a match, there is going to be one hell of a blaze.
That's right. That's right. Because
and we don't need it
right now.
That's right. We do not need it. We need somebody to say, look, you're right. We have to get organized. We have to do something that's going to make a difference. I wish, well, you've heard me say this a million times, I wish I was smart. I wish I could go out there and say to somebody, look, if you just did this, 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 and this, things would be better. I don't know what to tell you all to do. I don't know what to tell them to do. If I did, believe me, my mouth is big enough that I'd go and tell them. But I don't have those kind of answers. I just know that that's what we have to be in search of. Not more ways to fight with each other, not more ways to hate each other, not more ways to feel that you're getting more than I am and people like you better because you have blonde hair and blue eyes, or people, any of it. It's all got to stop. It's all crap, and it's got to stop because it's not true, for one thing. We are not different from each other. We all want the same things. Culturally speaking, we're different, but that should be embraced. That should always be embraced because it just makes us that provides some of the balance that we're in search of, is that embracing each other's cultures. But somebody's got to step up to the plate. These people that have, like you're talking about, that are entrepreneurial and gone out there and made something of themselves, they're really smart people. They need, what about the Mensa people, the people that are all supposed to be so incredibly intelligent? Why can't they figure out a way to make this more balanced? And you're right, Shelley, if they can print the money themselves, what the hell?
Well, get all.
I mean, I know that, but I never think about that, you know. But that's the truth.
But just to backtrack for 1 minute, it's not true that you have to be entrepreneurial to do what I was talking about. You don't even have to be smart. One of the people I'm talking to you just set up like a handyman type of a business. He just printed up a bunch of cards, went around to all the office buildings near him, went around to some of his neighbors and stuff, and he's had work nonstop because it's because they don't have to have him as a full-time employee. So a lot of the businesses, just to have one thing fixed here, one thing fixed there, you know, they took advantage of it instead of having to have a full-time employee with benefits and everything else. And he's actually been kept very busy. You know,
there's many, many, many people that are doing things like that, honey. I mean, there's many, many, but it's not enough. It's not enough money. And then if you're doing it on your own and you're in charge of your own income and outgo and your FICA and your taxes and everything, eventually you have a problem. I know off the top of my head, I could probably give you 15 names of people that are living just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that many, many years ago. I started my own cleaning service, and I went out and I charged, way back then it was like in the late 80s, and I clean a two-bedroom, two-bathroom apartment. It would take me about 3 hours because I did everything, windows, everything, and I charged them $35. And I would do three of them a day. And then through word of mouth, I got big homes where I would spend the day in somebody's big house, like 6 hours, and they would pay me $100. So, and we survived on that for quite a long time. But, and I think there's a lot of other people that do the handyman thing and do the Mr. Fix-It thing and the, you know, even people now that are going out and helping folks with the elderly, because if they don't have the right kind of insurance or some kind of savings, they can't put mom or dad in some place where they're safe all day. So if they're still a young enough couple to have to work all day, they need help with mom and dad because there's such an onslaught of Alzheimer's and dementia and things like that. So I know a lot of people that are doing that. And but, you know, at the end of the day, that's not helping us on the whole. What has to help us on the whole is so that Joe Schmo can go out there and earn his $25 an hour and not have to give, say, a third of that back in taxes for being self-employed, back in insurances, and back in workers' comp, because it'll soak him, you see? So probably 60% of the people that are doing that are not doing it the way they're supposed to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it still means that there has to be some kind of a good balance and an answer to all those problems. Now, you and I could probably discuss this until we're way into our 60s. So, but I do want to say, so we've talked about the Zimmerman case, and Tuesday night, you know, I wrote these notes and I thought to myself, you know, I never, ever told this story on the news when I was looking up some of the other stuff, because Tuesday night we ended up talking about sleep apnea and all the distress that's caused by not getting the kind of sleep that you need. But one of the wonderful things that I saw on the internet was these two young boys watch somebody snatch up a child, a little girl, and
oh, wow.
throw her in the back of the car and take off with her. And they chased this man on their bicycles and kept up with him until he slowed down long enough to throw this little girl out of the car, out of the van.
Yeah.
And they said,
oh
well, she didn't get hurt, she was okay, but they saved this little girl. And this young man, he reminded me of Josh, except he was black, not white, but he was tall and real skinny and just so full of energy. And he said, I would have chased him for another, whatever he said, so many miles. He says, I wasn't going to let him take that little girl. And she is hanging on to him and hugging his neck like, you know, he's the best, you know, the next best thing to peanut butter and jelly. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
And I thought, now see, if we can see stuff like that, what the hell is everybody thinking, right?
Yeah, that's an incredible story. Now, that
was
like
beautiful.
You said, and the whole thing is that things like that happen all over the country every day, but there's only a few of them that make it into the news. We really are an incredible people. There's a lot of hurt and injured people out there, but that's not our basic nature. The people that act like that have had stuff happen to them that they didn't deal with, all right? And then when they become injured, then they turn around and they injure other people. But the bottom line is, the way these kids acted, that is our basic nature. At our core, we really, really want to make a difference. We want to help. We want to assist people when the opportunity arrives. And you can see it a lot of times in the most cynical people, something happens, and all of a sudden, they're like the first ones on the scene offering help. And it's like, well, where did that come from, you know? And
yep.
it's like,
yep.
it truly is our basic nature.
And I've said this before on the show, but there's been many times in our lives as a family that people have rallied for us. Many, many years ago, I lost a baby sister to spinal meningitis, and she was only 7 months old. And I will never forget, I had a lot of friends from school, and a good portion of my friends, I went to school in Miami, were Cuban kids. And then kids that I had known since I was like in sixth grade, and this was, you know, by this time I was 17. And they all showed up for my baby sister's funeral, all of them.
Wow. Wow.
And it was, I mean, you know, amazing. There was like this big line of cars with all these young kids all dressed in black. I mean, you know, it was heartwarming. And there were other people, because she had spinal meningitis, that they wanted to ostracize us and boarded up their windows and did some crazy stuff. But then there was this, you know, these other young people, and they were all my age, you know, and they were just awesome. I can still remember that day in my mind's eye, and it was awesome the way they all showed up. But and then, you know, my house burnt down and people were awesome after that happened. You know, they were just amazing, remarkable. Mike got hit by the car, and we got a visit from the mayor of Sunrise with a letter from President Reagan and a picture signed by him. And Michael met the Texas Rangers and the New York Yankees. They made it National Michael Brewer Day when he was still in a wheelchair when that happened. But this is who we really are. This is really, really who we really are. And the problem is, though, is there's so many powerful people that have the tendency to, I don't know, they like to create discord.
They sensationalize things. Yeah.
Well, and the more discord that they create, the more in charge they stay.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, well, look at it this way. If we're all fighting amongst ourselves, think about this for a minute. If the average people are fighting with each other over race, religion, sexual orientation, things like that that we've discussed here before, and they're really nonsensical when you just put your intellect to it, okay, then if we're fighting amongst ourselves, then we're not watching the people that are in power over us.
That's
you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it's time that people stop looking at somebody's color or their religion or their sexual orientation, which is none of your business anyway, all right?
Right.
And why don't we just unify as a people and start looking at, like you were talking about, start looking at inflation. Start looking at some of the nonsensical laws that are out there. Let's start looking at some of the decisions that are made and get involved in what our government is doing, you know? I mean, every time there's a vote, you know, if so many people don't show up and then they complain the next 4 years that things went this way or things went that way, you know? Get involved. If you want things to change, get involved. And the easiest way to get involved is to stop fighting with your neighbor and unify with your neighbor. Let's start getting communities demanding, go to your local, you know, congressman, go to your local people, you know, to your local government and start grassroots movements. You know how many things have been abolished, how many travesties of justice have been abolished over years from grassroots organizations? You know, a handful of people here, a handful of people there that said, you know, this can't go on anymore. And they faced opposition of hundreds or thousands of people and were still victorious. Because once they were that determined to make something better, and they showed that they weren't going to stand down, it made other people braver. You know, a lot of times people want the same things, but they're afraid to go against the status quo. And when you getting a grassroots movement saying, you know what, this just isn't fair. We need to be doing things this way. And once you get that first few people out in front saying it, then the people that agree with it all of a sudden start becoming a little braver on their own and a little bit more comfortable with supporting you, and then the movement grows. And then all of a sudden one day, everybody's thinking the same way, and it's like it's absurd that it was ever the way it was, you know, like with slavery, with women not being able to vote. I mean, think of it. There was a time when it was actually life and death fights that these people went through, and now today it would be absurd to think that a woman couldn't vote. But it wasn't that long ago that we weren't allowed to.
That's right.
You know?
Well, talked about that a couple weeks ago. And
and
we are still not level with our parts. And but I do believe that day is on the horizon. But
absolutely.
It's been a long road to get there, you know, to the point where I think young girls actually are annoyed by it. Because when I talk to young people, they're like, you know, what do you mean you can't do this? Or what do you mean? And I'm like, well, you know, for a long time, there were certain things that wasn't acceptable for you to do if you were a female. And they struggle with that because they're very strong. Women today, young women today, I think are amazingly strong and capable and bright.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, this is the time for us to be able to, like you just said, unite and make a difference. And we can do that. We can definitely do that. And we can make things better than what they are now. And let's face it, there isn't anything in this life that can't use improvement. Because as things grow, they need to change. And that's hard. Change is hard. It's hard for me. I know that firsthand. And yet, someplace inside of me, I know that change is what it's really all about. Because if you keep going in a circle, you're like a gerbil, right? You never see anything different. You never learn anything different. You never,
right.
You know, everything is always the same. And that's really not where we want to be. So,
right.
So the other things that we talked about, of course, we did two nights of pretty extensive bullying work, and of course, we both feel that almost everything we discuss has a bullying aspect to it.
Right.
Whether we're talking
right.
about the George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin case, or whether we're talking, I mean, the only thing that it might not have anything to do with is sleep apnea, and then I'm not sure. But bullying or the verbal abuse of someone else or the name-calling or the picking on because of differences is often the crux of a multitude of problems that we have in the world today. And you don't
mm-hmm.
know it until you start sifting through and boiling it down and see what's left in the pan. And almost always there's some abusive aspects and bullying going on, and it harms us. So we can very easily end up back on that target and back in that place with the bullying. But I did
right.
I really did enjoy the conversation with Izzy on Wednesday night and with Gary last night, and I really have a lot of empathy for the way Gary feels about all of this, and I think
mm-hmm.
that I think that the show that we're going to work on next week is going to be victim versus perpetrator, and
uh-huh.
our innate ability to make a victim. You know, we could go into rape cases. A girl gets raped. Well, you know, you're walking around looking like, you know, a $2 floozy. So
right.
does that mean I deserve to be raped? You know, any number of things. Just like what they I don't know whether Trayvon was a good kid or a bad kid. And by that, those two descriptions, I mean, you know, a kid that was maybe not doing the best in school, maybe had a C or D average, maybe smoked a little mm-hmm. weed, but, you know, didn't go home and abuse his mom and wasn't mean to anybody in school and everything. He sounds like probably 80% of the teenagers I know. So
right.
For me, that doesn't sound like a bad kid. But when they talked about him, they tried to make it sound like, well, you know, he was up to no good because he's done all these other things. Well, that's ludicrous. That's ludicrous. So
right.
I would like to see something change about that. If somebody hurts you, I don't care who you are. Who was the Wild Wild West guy that Jesse James? Wasn't it Jesse James who got shot by somebody who was supposed to be his partner or something? Got shot in the back. I think it was
probably.
Jesse James.
I don't know the story. Yeah, I'm not into the Western stuff so much.
Right. Well, one of the kids did a report. Yeah. One of the kids did some reports like that. Spike did on gangsters and with some horrible stories. And then one of the other kids did something about back in the Wild West, Billy the Kid and Jesse James and all of them.
I was just going to say Billy the Kid, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like the James brothers, they were a big deal, and kind of what I remember, and I could be very wrong about this, so please don't anybody get all excited because I'm not saying this right. He was hanging curtains or something in his house, and one of his buddies, somebody that had been on the road with him and everything, came in and shot him in the back because, you know, there was money on his head. And
wow.
Again, does that seem like the right thing to do? It doesn't to me. Yes, Jesse James was he stole, he killed people, he did lots of terrible things. But to shoot him in the back always sounded to me like, you know, if you had a gun in your hands, why didn't you get him off the ladder and put him in jail or punish him or do something? But because somebody else is doing something you don't like, I can't imagine and why anybody would use it as an argument that you have the right to do something to that person. That's
right.
Not the way our laws are set up. And I realize the Bible says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I don't think when the Bible was written they meant, my 44 against your Colt 45, or, you know, I don't think that's where their thinking was at. So if you take someone else's life intentionally, especially if they're not even looking at you and it's not a fair fight or whatever the case might be, and you do it because you think it's your right, you're wrong, at least to my way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do want to do a story about the victim versus the perpetrator, because I have seen in courtrooms where somebody's been hurt by someone else, and instead of just finding out if that person really hurt them, they try their very best to make the other person look like they somehow deserved it.
I know. They victimize the victim.
Mm-hmm. And that, for me, is like, first of all, it's not necessary. Second of all, what difference does it make? It's still not all right that you beat him to a pulp. It's not okay. You're not supposed to do that. You don't take the law into your own hands, and you certainly do not inflict harm on somebody else because you think they're not the person that you think they should be.
That's right.
You know, then again, we're talking about perfection, and since still nobody has shown up at my door with somebody that they think is perfect, and I'm patiently waiting.
I know. I mean, you've put it out there how many times now?
Yes, many, many times, many, many times. But that's one of Gary's, that's one of his, it's not a problem for him, but it's something that he feels concerned about, is the fact that we're trying to put too much responsibility on the kid that's already being picked on beyond compare, leaving the end result is being left up to the victim, when in most scenarios the perpetrator is the one who pays, not the victim. So
mm-hmm.
I can see his point of view, and even though we see it a little bit differently, because I think we're not thinking of it as being so difficult for the other child to do. And Gary's talking, I think, from firsthand knowledge. So I feel like we need to respect that, because he knows about that maybe to a degree that you and I don't. You and I have both been hurt before. You and I have had things done to us, but it wasn't daily and repetitious. And I think that's very sadly one of the big things that happens to some of these young kids. To have it happen a couple different times, or to have somebody be mean to you. I think I've told the story about the night that the boys jumped Spike and I and beat us up, and they didn't really hurt me. I hurt myself more trying to hit them back, but it upset me so bad to think that somebody wanted to be mean to me for no reason, you know. So there's that to take into consideration too, what kind of feelings evolve from that kind of abuse, and the thinking perhaps, and this is what we see a lot, that you deserve it somehow. So next week we're going to do a victim versus perpetrator, and the difference and why we seem to find opportunities to victimize the victim. And I think Tim is going to call us again. He called me the other day and he would like to talk on the show. And Wednesday we will have Izzy. And there's a couple other things that I'm trying to put together and have a couple other people on the show. I'd like to have John Alvarez back. He's very busy right now running for office. Lovely,
cool.
Lovely guy. And I think he's ready, willing, and able to talk again. And I would still like to get some of our professionals involved with some of the mental illness conversations that we've had. So, but for tonight, we're done, and I want to thank Shelley again, as usual. Thanks. I'm glad you're home and not still trying to drive home. And I will see you tomorrow morning at 9:30, right?
Yes, you will.
Okay. So, from my heart to yours, everybody, good night and God bless. Night, Shell. See you tomorrow.
Good night, Renee. I'll see you in the morning.
Bye, babe.
Good night.